The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you, that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You will not commit adultery,' but I say to you that everyone that looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. And it was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no, and anything more than this comes from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord. And let us not cause one person harm. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today I return to you after spending a little over a week in Canoga. It was a special time for me, a time that I carve out every year to spend time in prayer and to be with the Holy Spirit as I write an icon. It is truly a very, very sacred and holy time for me. It's my custom over the years to arrive a day early, and this allows me time to unburden myself from daily routines and become more centered and quiet in the presence of our triune God. So this year, on arriving, my mind was in a swirl from the destruction of February the 5th. My backyard was a disaster due to these raging storms, and my heart was grieving for all my friends and neighbors, those in Stanley and Rowan County, who were devastated by tornadoes. I checked in and I decided, even though it was cold and windy, it was clear that I would walk up to and through Camp Bob to a quiet outside church and sit at the altar, gazing out into God's creation and a beautiful cross that stands there of the crucifixion. Since the wind was so high, I sat and kept my back to the stone altar. It was a beautiful place. It was quiet. I was protected from the wind. I was bathed in warm sun, and I was touched by that soft breeze of the Holy Spirit. The trees danced in the wind, and there were birds singing. It was like heavenly music. The sun slowly began to move, heralding the end of a day. And it started casting its rays of light through the crucified Christ that hung on the cross. And that light poured through Christ onto me. It was a moment of peace and true wonderment. And my heart was totally unburdened. I realized that all that I needed was provided for me. And that light was the deep abiding love of Christ pulling me into relationship, casting light on those dark places of anger and grief that were in my heart. It was beautiful time, quiet time, time that Christ calls all of us into. On returning from that holy time, it was also my discipline to pull out the Episcopal lectionary and to read the gospel and pray with it during the week. So I read through today's gospel. And I'll have to tell you, I had to take a deep breath. And for a moment, I thought, I bet everybody at All Saints is going to come to church waiting for a sermon on sin and anger, murder, divorce, adultery. Yet, in my peaceful state, I felt like that the message God was giving me was a message to share with God's people, that God's calling us into the deepest of relationships, that all the things that were talked about in the gospel today were things that kept us divorced or separated from our God. They were things that caused anger and harm to other people and ourselves. And for a minute, I reflected on February and the tradition of Black History Month and an article that I had recently read about the 60th anniversary of the Greensboro sit-ins and at the Woolworth lunch counter. This sit-in was conducted by four students. Students at NC A&T College. They were motivated by the loving words of Christ and the message being delivered at that time mostly in African American churches by Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Woolworth was a drugstore. It was a lunch counter, a soda fountain, a place where friends and community gathered. They were all over the United States, but I have fond memories of them being in North Carolina. It was a common practice during this era for people of color to be allowed to shop and purchase things at the drugstore, but they were not allowed to sit at the counter and to be served or to eat a meal. Water fountains were designated for colored and whites, as were restroom facilities. And even though most Americans knew that this practice was wrong and harmful, the practice was rarely challenged. And in 1960, with great courage, the four students decided that this broken system needed to be changed, that God's light needed to be poured into dark places. So at the Woolworth counter, they quietly sat, reading their textbooks and asking only to be served. And the longer they sat there, the crowds gathered, both to watch in curiosity and support these men, or they gathered in anger and tried to get them to move. The manager of the store called the police. The chants and insults began. All of this was meant to intimidate these four young black college students. There was one daunting black and white picture that appeared of the sit-in in the newspaper. I often have times that I look at that picture and pray with it, because to me it reflects the quiet dignity of four men following in the footsteps in a relationship with God. And then behind them is a group of white men. And it appears to me that those white men are angry, that they want to degrade another individual. There was one white man that picked up a bottle of ketchup and mustard and squirted it all over the young men, covering that protester from head, all over his head and his clothing. And when I look at that picture, those words that we repeat in the baptismal covenant come to my mind. Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you strive for justice and peace for all people and respect the dignity of every human being? This picture reflects a dire contrast between that walk into and journey with Christ and that anger, that divorce that causes destruction in a relationship, in a person, in a family, in a community. It shows what it looks like to be separated from the love and light and the reflection and relationship with God. The anger, which reflects adultery, the lack of faithfulness to God's teaching, both in the Old and New Testament, about loving our neighbor as ourselves and to love God. The action reflects the brokenness of humanity and what it looks like to separate or divorce ourselves from relationship with God, to be unfaithful. I often ask myself, what legacy did the men pouring the ketchup and mustard all over the protesters leave for themselves and for their families. I can find little information about them and how they lived the rest of their life. As for the Greensboro Four, they were an example of peaceful protest. It brought attention to an unfair system and unfair practices. They were asked only to be seen in dignity and in love, which was given to them in their relationship with Christ. The courage of the Greensboro Four led to change. College students, both black and white, followed their path. The lunch counter sit-ins were held all over North Carolina and all over the world, the United States. By July of that year, the sit-in was in February, by July, less than 6 months, African Americans were allowed to sit at the lunch counter and they were served. Four people standing up to something that was wrong in love and light of Christ. In the epistle from 1 Corinthians, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of flesh, as infants of Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food. Even now, you are not ready. There is jealousy and quarreling among you. So God knows that we are growing in relationship with Him, that we are infants. We are infants in that relationship. But He holds out love and gives us everything we need to return that. Even today, in this church, we are trying to dismantle race, some 60 years later, and grow deeper into relationship with each other and God. It is my belief that one of God's greatest concerns is not that we strive first to follow all the Ten Commandments or the laws, but that we seek first to follow God and put Him first in our lives. The Lord speaks more about the kingdom as God, of kingdom of God, and that is relationship. The laws are like our map. They're important to developing that relationship. The right relationship with God and with those around us, our relationship is about an instrument for deepening and strengthening that community in which we live. The purpose of the Ten Commandments is not to limit our lives, but to expand and enrich them. It's to honor those that we're in relationships with, to walk closer to God, and to be a light to those that live on the fringes or are disenfranchised. May we remember those four young men who sat at that counter in February of 1960 as a deep contrast of those who walk with Christ in faithfulness and those who are disenfranchised or divorce themselves from this precious relationship. May we deeply pray to bring all God's people, those who have been unfaithful, those who have let their anger get the best of them, let us pray them into the arms of Christ, and may they place their burdens at the foot of the cross so that the light and love of Christ flows through the crucifixion onto them, onto their dark heart, bringing the light of Christ into the world. Amen.